Y'all turn, if you will, quickly to the Gospel of John, chapter 11. I'm not going to give you a sermonette this morning, although I am going to be super sensitive to time because of everything that we've got going on today with funeral and all of those things. Instead of trying to give you a sermonette, what I'm going to do is I'm going to come in this morning and I'm going to take the lid off of this and provoke thought. And let you visit this, and then we'll come back and we'll do deep dives. Y'all know I love to do deep dives. To me, if it's not worth doing a deep dive over, it's not worth starting anyway. I think everything offers opportunity for a deep dive into it as the Lord wants to change us and mature us and grow us and transform us. This morning we're going to be in what we know as the raising of Lazarus from the dead, but we're not going to get to the Lazarus part, okay? I want to talk about Martha and her interaction with Jesus. I feel like Martha is a lot like Peter. What time is it? Somebody help me on time. 11:30? Okay, good. I got 30 minutes and we'll be out by 12. I feel like Martha is a lot like Peter. A lot of times we give Martha a bad rap as preachers and teachers and all of that. And, you know, we're like, oh, Martha's busy serving sandwiches and Mary's sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus did say she's chosen the best thing. Mary's chosen something that's more important. But I think Martha was pure in her heart that I want to come in and I want to host well. And that's significant. And so she came in, she hosted well, you know, we look and we see what Mary's doing later on. And a lot of times we will look at the two sisters and we'll be like, okay, this one's, you know, she's a little more sharper on this and this one's got this mindset. But I think Martha's pretty dang awesome. A lot of this that I see, I love somebody that hosts well. I think people have lost the art of hosting. I think that the word not only commands and compels us to host well, I think it teaches us how to host well. And you know, it's something I definitely want us to rejuvenate in this house and bring out in this house. And she does a wonderful job of that. Perhaps one of my favorite stories in the Bible is found in John 12, and that's the supper at Bethany. And I absolutely love that story because of how relational it is. We'll see that coming up the next chapter. And you go in there and you look at this table and they're hosting Jesus in Simon the leper's house, a man that once had leprosy and everything that that brought with it. It was certain death. It's just how long. It was a thing where you were ostracized from community because you had to be unclean. You could not participate in anything in society if you had leprosy, and God had healed Simon, and obviously he was clean at this point. But it was at Simon's house. You know, Lazarus is there, who had been raised from the dead. The disciples were there. Mary and Martha was there. I mean, just the whole thing is a beautiful picture of relationships and relational living. So I really like that. But we come in and we see something with Martha and Jesus and interaction here. This is building up to the raising of the dead of Lazarus. And so let's just jump in verse 1. Let's read several verses, and then we're going to come back. Like I say, I'm just going to pull the lid off this morning, and we'll go from there at future time. I'm in the Passion Translation, so we're John 11, verse 1. It says, in the village of Bethany, there was a man named Lazarus and his sisters, Mary and Martha. Mary was the one who would anoint Jesus' feet with costly perfume and dry his feet with her long hair. We see that in the next chapter, in chapter 12. It says, one day Lazarus became very sick to the point of death. So his sister sent a message to Jesus, Lord, our brother Lazarus, the one you love, is very sick. Please come. When he heard this, he said, the sickness will not end in death for Lazarus, but will bring glory and praise to God. This will reveal the greatness of the Son of God by what takes place. Sometimes the delay, sometimes the not now answer that we get is simply setting us up, setting up opportunity for Jesus to be seen in true light. Jesus to be seen in a more mature way. Because we want to come in and we want to take the clean, neat, pretty, beautiful Jesus But without the cross, he didn't become the perfect Savior. And so we have to look and see all of these things. You know, the story of, I read something the other day. Y'all know I love fly fishing, and I read something the other day, and it said, and I'm paraphrasing this, it says that we seldom remember the fish that we caught, but we always remember the places that we travel to and fish for them in. You seldom remember the fish, but you always remember the place. And it's much like childbirth that the Bible talks about. And it says, you know, for the that after the baby comes, we had a good friend. She had a baby this morning at like 1:30 in the morning. You know, I'm sure at 1 o'clock she wasn't feeling it. You know, it was pain. It was hurt. It was all of these things. But now she's holding that precious baby girl today, and all of a sudden, the childbirth is not that it's not real. The labor, not that it's not real. Lord will tell you, absolutely it is. But it is worth it for what you are holding in your hands. And I look at my life, and my life has been this long, beautiful, complex journey. And the things that are the memorials, the markers, the significant things are so often the things that in the moment were very hard. The things where it didn't work out like I thought it should work out or wanted it to work out. And God moved in the midst of that anyway. We go through hurt, we go through pain, we go through uncertainty, we go through maybe betrayal, we go through all of these things. And in the middle of that, God shows up. And so what we focus on is that moment that God showed up, that moment that God met us in this place, the moment that God came in and showed himself to not just be Jehovah Rapha, but Jehovah Jireh. Then I'm going to come in and I'm going to meet all your needs, you know, that it's, you know, not just Lord, but Savior. You know, it's Redeemer. It's a resurrection God. And so it's these places that in the moment we don't love them. We're like, this stinks. This hurts. God, where are you at? And God says, yeah, but the story's not finished yet. I'm not through writing this story. I'm not through writing this song that I'm singing over your life. So hang in there. Trust in me. And let me reveal some things to you. Let me reveal some things about yourself. Let me reveal some things about me. And when this storyline is finished, I promise you it's going to be amazing. I promise you it's going to be amazing. And so you've got Lazarus, and he's sick here to the point of death. They send word, and they said, please come. Relational, you can ask things. You know, and their thing is, hey, man, we're in great relationship with Jesus. We're not strangers, so I'm going to ask him to come. Guess what? He'll come. He'll show up. You know, you're thinking, you know, you're pulling that relational card. You know, well, we're tight. We're in covenant together. We're family or whatever and all of this stuff. And says, yeah, but I'm looking at a bigger picture than what you're looking at. And that's always the case. God looks at things from a 30,000 foot altitude, just using that figuratively. We tend to look at things from a sea level perspective. So he comes in. He said, when he heard this, he said, the sickness will not end in death for Lazarus, but will bring glory and praise to God. This will reveal the greatness of the Son of God by what takes place. Verse 5, now even though Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, he remained where he was for 2 more days. I want to read that again. Now even though Jesus loved, and you fill in your name right there. Even though Jesus loved Marty Smith, he remained where he was for 2 more days. Even though he loved Brett House, he remained where he was for 2 more days. Man, God, if you'd showed up earlier, it wouldn't be like this. You just didn't come quick enough. Didn't come fast enough. Even though Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, he remained there where he was for 2 more days. Finally, on the third day, he said to his disciples, come, it's time to go to Bethany. But teacher, they said to him, do you really want to go back there? It was just a short time ago the people of Judea were going to stone you. Jesus replied, are there not 12 hours of daylight in every day? You can go through a day without the fear of stumbling when you walk in the one who gives light to the world. But you will stumble when the light is not in you, for you'll be walking in the dark. Then Jesus added, Lazarus, our friend, has just fallen asleep. It's time that I go and waken him. When they heard this, the disciples replied, Lord, if he has just fallen asleep, then he'll get better. Jesus was speaking about Lazarus' death, but the disciples presumed he was talking about natural sleep. Verse 14, then Jesus made it plain to them, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, look at that. For your sake, I'm glad I wasn't there. Because now you have another opportunity to see who I am so that you will learn to trust in me. Come, let's go and see him. I'm going to come back and we're going to revisit that verse. I see verse 16 as it's a curious verse to me. It's very interesting. I think it's Thomas being pessimistic. He said, so Thomas, nicknamed the twin, remarked to the other disciples, let's go so that we can die with him. This is in light of the previous scriptures in verse 8, where they said, Lord, they tried to stone you last time you were there, and you want to go back? And then he goes into all this. Thomas is still hung up on that. So, all right, we're going. Let's go die with him. We're all going to get stoned on this. I think John puts that in there. I think the Holy Spirit puts that in there. Because it's very seldom that we're all on the same page. It's very seldom that we're all in that right mindset and God moves anyway. Sometimes I'm Eeyore. And I'm walking around and I got a cloud over my head and it's raining and everybody else is enjoying sunshine, you know. Everybody else is over here and they're digging life and I'm like, oh man, it's bad and I'm getting wet and it's raining and tomorrow's going to be a worse day than today and all of that. And sometimes we all have those attitudes and God moves anyway. And me personally, I don't know, this is not a big deep theological thing. I just think that's why he put it in there about Thomas. Because Thomas wasn't like, yes, let's go raise him from the dead. Thomas wasn't like, man, I can't wait to go see what Jesus does in this. It's going to be amazing, guys. He said, Jesus is about to do something that'll blow our mind. He said, all right, let's go die with him. I like the commitment level. He went anyway. Can I say this to you? And this has nothing to do with the lid that I'm opening this morning. Even when you ain't feeling it, go anyway. Even when you're like, man, I don't know about this. I kind of like the father where Jesus came in and he's like, you know, do you believe? And he said, Lord, I believe. And then he turned around and says, help my unbelief. He's really saying part of me believes and part of me doesn't believe. Well, go anyway. I'm weak in my faith. I'm struggling at this point in my life, man. And we've all been there. We've been in places where we weren't like, you know, spiritual Superman. We were just struggling on God. What's up with this? Or maybe the road in front of us and we're like, oh man, this is going to be a tough week. This is going to be a tough day. This is going to be a tough thing that I have to go through. You know, they might kill us. At this moment, he wasn't even focused on Lazarus or Mary and Martha. And I bet he loved them too, man. They were tight with the group. But he wasn't feeling it, but he went anyway. So just a side note for you, even when you ain't feeling it, go anyway, because beautiful stuff will happen. Verse 17, now when they arrived at Bethany, which was only about 2 miles from Jerusalem, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Many friends of Mary and Martha had come from the region to console them over the loss of their brother. And when Martha heard that Jesus was approaching the village, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Sometimes your disappointment keeps you from moving that 10%. And it takes somebody else moving that 10% to encourage you and give you the push, give you the nudge, give you the faith, give you the courage to go the 10%. If Martha hadn't went and met with Jesus and talked to him and gotten resuscitated and renewed in her faith and her understanding, I don't know what it would have looked like for Mary. So sometimes you going that 10% can be the catalyst for somebody else. Sometimes you going that 10% can be the encouragement that somebody else needs. Sometimes you going in and saying, okay, it's safe now. How many of us, we've been hiking or something like that, and it's like, you first. and we'll cross something, you know, a river or whatever. And it's like, all right, you go first. And if you make it, then I'll know it's safe. Martha going in proved it was safe ground to Mary. And she came back and she encouraged her. And so sometimes that is our role. Sometimes that is our role. And if that's your role in that moment, then praise God, that's awesome. It brings somebody. Remember we said last week, the Apostle Paul said that we have this ministry of reconciliation. That's what Martha's flowing in right here. And she comes and she meets Jesus. She goes to that 10. All right, here we go. Verse 21. Martha said to Jesus, "My Lord, if only you had come sooner, my brother wouldn't have died. But I know that if you were to ask God for anything, he would do it for you." In my notes in my King James that I wrote years and years ago, I put that Martha turned a period into a comma. Instead of stopping and saying, "Lord, if you had only come sooner, my brother wouldn't have died." She didn't stop there. She turned the period and put it into the comma, and she said, and it opened a door and it gave opportunity for God to move in the situation. It wasn't a thing like, well, God let me down. God didn't show up when I thought he was going to show up. He didn't show up when I needed him to show up. So you know what? I can't trust God. He's not trustworthy. Or maybe he doesn't love me like I thought he loved me. And that was where the enemy would love for us to leave it as a period and shrink back and step back. The enemy wants to put a period in your story. The enemy wants to put a period in your life. And for it to stop right there. And say, oh, well, my life could have been this, but period. She comes in and she makes it a comma. And she says, this didn't look like I wanted it to look like. This didn't look like what I hoped for. But God, I know you can do anything regardless of time, because you're not constrained by time. You're not constrained by physical death. So I'm putting a comma right here. Verse 23, Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise and live." And she replied, "Yes, I know he will rise with everyone else on the resurrection day." Martha, Jesus said, you don't have to wait until then. I am the resurrection. I am life eternal. Anyone who clings to me in faith, even though he dies, will live forever. And the one who lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Then Martha replied, "Yes, Lord, I do. I've always believed that you are the anointed one, the Son of God who has come into the world for us." Doesn't sound like a sandwich maker to me. Then she left and hurried off to her sister, Mary, and called her aside from all the mourners and whispered to her, "The Master is here and he's asking for you." A lot of stuff, a lot of complexity in this story. The one thing that the Lord really spoke to me on this that I want to open the lid on today and for us to do a little bit deeper dive on is I want us to, let me just read my note that I put in here. I said Martha went from a faith for prevention to a faith for resurrection. She went from a faith of prevention to a faith for resurrection. If you'd been here, Lord, you could have kept this from happening. If you'd have showed up, I wouldn't have entered into this. And the Lord began to speak to me and challenge me about our level of faith and the immaturity in our faith. And he said, you have more of a preventative faith than you do a resurrection faith. You have more of a preventative faith than you do a resurrection faith. And it shows by your lifestyle. Because we come in and we're worried that things will die. And I'm not just talking about physical death. Really not even focusing on physical death. We're worried that our dreams are going to die. Our relationships are going to die. Our finances are going to fail. And so we come in and we begin to have a preventative faith. And we're like, God, I need you to show up in this and this and this so that it doesn't happen. And we go through life living a life that is based on what could happen. And it's a preventative faith. You know how many times we've been just like you? Every one of us could raise our hand. You know how many times we've all been hurt in relationships? We've been disappointed. We've been abandoned. We've been betrayed. It's happened to all of us, right? So somebody new comes into your life, and you know what we do? We embrace it at arm's length. When y'all came into our life 5 years ago, I wasn't virgin in relationships. I had been used and abused in relationships. And I had done some abusing in relationships. It ain't all one-sided. All of us have messed up and hurt people as bad, probably nearly as much as we've been hurt, right? So all of a sudden, y'all come into our scene, and we feel this connection and all this. We're like, oh, man, you know, possibility. I think I could do life with these people, man. We're like-minded and, you know, passionate about God and loving each other and loving Jesus and all this stuff. And you see the possibility in this. But you know what preventative faith does? I'm going to love you from a distance. Because if I love you from a distance, and the enemy says, they'll leave you too. They'll hurt you too. They'll betray you too. Then you know what that does. That causes us to live closed off in our relationship. I'll let you in a little bit. But if I have preventative faith, you know what? I won't let you in all the way. And vice versa. Is that conducive to a deep, healthy, deep dive relationship? But that's how we live. If we're in preventative faith. Right? Y'all tracking with me? Has every one of us experienced that? Even within relationships that we are currently in, they did not end with a train wreck, but there was hurt there. Lori and I have been together 43 years. We've been married for 40 of those 43 years. Have there been times that she has hurt me? Yes. Have there been times that I have hurt her and disappointed her? Yes. So you know what we can do? We can enter into this relationship or continue this relationship in a guarded state. I'm going to do my best to give her my whole heart, but I got to hold back a little bit because it's got hurt before. And that causes us to live in a place of less than. That is preventative faith. What we're doing is we are guarding parts of our life and creating a contingency plan. What if this person does hurt me? What if this person does betray me? And it's preventative faith. And what we do based on our personal experience with people, we carry that over into our relationship with God. And we say, well, God, your people have hurt me. Church has hurt me. You know the biggest reason, just in my world, the people that I talk to that are not in church, you know the biggest reason they tell me that they're not in church? It's not that it takes too much time. I mean, heck, let's get real. We're talking 2 hours a week. Church attendance. Hopefully it's more than that. But that's if we show up on Sunday morning. It's not, I don't have the time. It's not, well, then I feel like I got to give. It's not a money issue. You know what it always comes back to? Nearly every time, I've been hurt before. I got hurt in church. The preacher hurt me. The preacher's wife hurt me. The deacon hurt me. The worship leader hurt me. Somebody hurt me. And I put my faith in them or I put my faith in this and it just didn't pan out. And so you know what we do? We shrink back from that and we approach God in the same way because we think God's going to do the same thing that flawed people do. I bet if I did a real honest thing right here and I said, how many of y'all trust God 100% with every fiber of your being that he is never going to let you down? You know, we sing about it and we're like, oh, yeah, I'm in. But there's just a little tinge in there, right, Tammy? I mean, where we're like, but I remember this time. And I told the Lord I had this need. He didn't leave where he was for 2 days. And yeah, he showed up. And yeah, he was. And so we come in and we have preventative faith. We do it with finances. How many of you guys, if you were not worried about having enough, I'm not talking about right now, I'm talking about future, having enough. How many of you, you would live generously in a different light than you do right now? If your life was a blank check, how would we give? How would we sow? How would we invest? You know, you see people, Randy, and they do the stock things, and they use, you know, play money. You know, in classes they do it. You know, college classes and all of this stuff, and, you know, try to teach people how to invest. And all right, we're using make-believe money. People are risky and all of that, but usually people come out of that and say, man, I killed it. Because they had no fear of losing. They were not operating from a place of lack. They were operating from a place of plenty. So they did not live a preventative faith. They came in and they lived a resurrection faith. And you know what resurrection faith is? Let me read the notes of this that I love. And I'm going to tie this up in a neat little package and we're going to be on our way. The translator of this Bible, the Living Translation, he comes in and he says, or the Passion Translation, I'm sorry. He says, resurrection is superior to life. For life can be defeated and ended. But resurrection overcomes. Life is the power to exist, but resurrection is the power to conquer all, even death itself. Believers must learn to live in Christ our life, but also Christ our resurrection to conquer all things. The Apostle Paul says that his death is our death. His resurrection is our resurrection. And there was a maturing or transforming of her faith where she came in and Martha had this thing with Jesus where she said, Lord, if you had come earlier, this wouldn't have happened. And he says, what does it matter when I come? I'm the resurrection. You think I'm late? I'm just in time. Because I want to teach you a superior faith. I want you to mature into a faith that says, if today looks like a train wreck, God has the desire, the heart, the love, and the capabilities of bringing every bit of it back to life tomorrow. Can I give you reality? If we run together long enough, I'm going to hurt your feelings. I'm going to disappoint you. And you will me too. But if we operate in resurrection faith, then you know what we know and what we believe? That God has the heart, desire, and capability of bringing everything back to life, making all things new, and making it better than before. And when we operate relationally like that, hey, we could see that, and we can see that in our walk, can't we, Randy? We've been friends with Randy and Terry, how long? 35 years? At least 35. Randy went to school with me and Lori. You know, we're the poor county folks. Terry went to Bougie Bremen. But we've been friends for 35 years. There have been times where we have hurt them, and there have been times where they have hurt us. But you know what? Our relationship today, I think I can safely say this for both of us, all four of us, our relationship today is better than it ever has been. It's stronger than it ever has been. It's more beautiful than it ever has been. I don't travel with many folks. I travel with them. I'm super picky on who I travel with. I travel with them. When I'm with them, it's a safe place. They can see my flaws. They don't judge. And so it's a place to be who God created us to be. And I love the fact that our relationship's at that point now. It's beautiful to me. And part of it is, you know, we're all growing older and wiser and all that stuff. But you know, really what it is we enter into it with a resurrection faith instead of a preventative faith. I say stupid stuff sometimes. I know it's shocking. But I do. I say stupid stuff, insensitive stuff sometimes to my wife. But you know how I approach my marriage to her? In resurrection faith. That if we have a disagreement, we don't have many, but if we have a disagreement, guess what? I ain't going to see the lawyer next week. We're not staying mad. We don't go into a thing where it's like, well, I ain't talking to you for 2 days. I'm like, really? Come on. We in eighth grade. You hurt my feelings. Maybe I hurt your feelings. We disagree on this thing. But I have confidence that God is able to bring to life any place that the enemy tries to damage, to kill, to hurt. And he can bring it to life. And when he brings it to life, it's stronger than it was before. It's more victorious than it was before. Jesus was more victorious after the grave than he was before the grave. The grave didn't lessen him. It strengthened him. What did he come back with when he came out of the grave? Keys, baby. He said, I've got keys to death, hell, and the grave. I have overcome all so you can overcome all. And we think stuff is dead. We think stuff is dead and we come in from a preventative thing because we don't want nothing to die. God said, if it does die, it's just asleep and I can bring it back. I was talking to Allie O'Neill last night, Allie Smith. I was asking her how the Glam House is doing. She said, oh, it's doing good and all that stuff. She said, you know, I really don't worry about it much. She said, John, he does all the numbers and he looks at all that and he worries about all that. And he said, yeah, y'all know Allie. I love her. She's awesome. She's like, you know, I just don't worry about it. And you know what the Lord said? That's resurrection faith. If this business fails, there can be another one. If you never make an investment, Randy, because it might fail, it will paralyze you from making any investment. And Jesus is teaching Martha resurrection faith. It is superior. It is superior to preventative faith. One last thing about this for today. I want you to think about Abraham. Abraham makes a statement that I absolutely love. God met Abraham where he was. He came into him. Abraham lived in the Mesopotamia region. Everything in that was about child sacrifice. That was the ultimate way to express yourself before God and all that. And so God comes to Abraham and he says, all right, your only son, your promised son, the son that I gave you, I want you to go sacrifice him to him up on Mount Moriah. And so Abraham immediately, he relates and he's like, man, this is the ultimate sacrifice. Okay, I'll do this. God's not into child sacrifice. Duh. But he met Abraham where he was. The whole time God knows what's going on in this thing. But Abraham makes a statement that I absolutely love. When they go, Abraham, Isaac, the donkey laden with the wood for the altar and all of that stuff to go build the fire to sacrifice. I mean, the knife, he's got all this stuff. He's got servants that go with him. They get to Mount Moriah and he tells his servants, y'all wait right here. He said, me and the lad are going to worship. And we, plural, will come back. We'll be back. What kind of faith did Abraham have? Resurrection faith. resurrection faith. I know I'm at 32 minutes. I'm actually keeping up this morning. Resurrection faith enables us to live boldly. Our yes can be strong and full of confidence when we operate in resurrection faith. So this week, what I want you to do, and I pray that you meditate on these things and get into the Word on it. We will revisit this, maybe next Sunday, maybe down the road a little bit, because we didn't do a deep dive today. But I want you to honestly look at your life. And I just talked about a couple of things. I just talked about relationships and finance. I want you to look at your life and ask yourself, am I living my life in preventative faith? Or am I living my life in resurrection faith? And look in every area. Do my resources, my finances, is it preventative faith or resurrection faith? Relationally, is it preventative faith or resurrection faith? Your walk with God, preventative faith, resurrection faith. It's going to bring us into a new place when getting that resurrection faith, guys. It's going to bring us into a new place. And it's up to us. God, he's coming to 90. And then he stops. And he says, I'm just asking you to come to 10. That's it. I'm leaning in. Alex, I'm leaning in. Will you open the gate? Or will you walk through the gate that I've opened? That's where it falls with us. Y'all stand to your feet. Nearly a miracle. Didn't quite get 30 minutes, but it was close. About good as I can do, Marty. My prayer for you guys today and this week, in the middle of everything that we're dealing with, that you're dealing with, and Lisa, you're about to walk through a funeral where you're burying your mom, but he says, I am the resurrection right now. But in that, in all of our stuff, I pray that it is not overwhelming, but it is a place of rest and a place of peace, a place of wholeness, Shabbat Shalom. And we say, man, today doesn't, you know, the Sabbath, today doesn't look like a day of rest for me. And God says it can be, because my yoke is easy and my burden's light. And so as we're on this faith journey and we're pressing in and we're pressing deeper and we're wanting it to be more, we want our yes to be more all-encompassing. That as we do that, that we give space for God to lean in and step in. Because he is moving toward us. It's the biggest thing I felt this morning, was God moving toward us in every one of our places where we're at in life. So let him take you deeper. Let him take you deeper. I just pray rest, peace, and wholeness for you this week. Maybe in the midst of chaos, in the midst of hurt, in the midst of pain. Apostle Paul says it's a peace that passes all understanding. It's his currency. Peace and love is God's currency. And I pray that you're overwhelmed with that. Overwhelmed with that today. Feel him leaning into you. Feel him stepping toward you. And respond accordingly, all right? Love you guys. Y'all have an amazing week. We'll see y'all this afternoon, next week. God bless y'all. We're dismissed.